The day before Jesus was crucified, he ate supper with his 12 closest friends. In fact, he said to them, "I have really, really looked forward to eating this supper with you." And then he said to them, "This supper means so much to me that I want you to repeat it again and again and again. No, you don't have to eat a whole meal. A little bit of bread and a little juice or a little wine, that'll be enough. But I want you to repeat this meal again and again and again. And the reason I want you to do that is I want you to remember me." And so for 2,000 years, the church takes the Lord's Supper. We do it because Jesus Christ said, "This is deeply important to me. I want you to remember in this meal what you meant to me, that my body was broken and my blood was shed. I want you to remind yourself again and again what you mean to me." So our church offers the Lord's Supper the first Saturday night of every month. And some of you haven't been to the Lord's Supper for a long time. You've kind of organized your Christian life with it being really not important enough to put on the calendar. I'm asking you to change your mind. I'm asking you to say, if it meant that much to Christ, then I can figure out a way to make this happen, church. I also like it because it's an opportunity for me to say to Christ, "I'm sorry I didn't do a very good job last month, but I'm going to do better this month. I'm going to be a better man." It is a wonderful time to recalibrate our souls and to remind ourselves just how much Christ loves us. And I'm asking you to make it part of your Christian life. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would teach us that our emotional life and our spiritual life are so deeply connected that they cannot be separated. And I pray that we would learn how to handle emotional crisis in ways that make us better people and not broken people. In Christ's name, amen. We're studying the ideas from Peter Scazzaro on emotionally healthy spirituality. And he says in everybody's life, we have experiences where we hit an emotional wall. You hit an emotional wall. Perhaps it is a huge disappointment. Perhaps it's a betrayal. Perhaps you just have to admit to yourself that you're not as emotionally grown up as you should be. But you hit the wall. You are emotionally depleted. You are emotionally empty. You're just not really sure how to go forward. Can you remember a time like that in your life? In my life, it was the late 80s, early 90s, I hit the wall. I had a bad accident. My friend and mentor, Dr. Douglas, died totally unexpectedly. We relocated our church from Parma to Strongsville, and some people got nasty, and it was just an ugly time, ugly time. I can remember sitting in my office praying to God and saying, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Can you identify with this? I was so emotionally exhausted, it took all my energy just to breathe. Have you ever been there? It took every bit of energy I had just to breathe. And Scazzaro says, this happens to everybody. Everybody has emotional walls. They just come up in our life. And he says, they make us stronger and we become better people, or they break us and we quit. These emotional walls have a way of growing us and developing us and making us stronger people, or they fracture us and we quit and we never trust again. And the way we love is flawed and self-protective. Well, it turns out our Lord Jesus Christ himself hit an emotional wall. And he models for us how to handle these very unpleasant emotional experiences in our life. And so Matthew tells us in his gospel, Jesus went with his 12 disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to Peter, James, and John, my soul is surrounded by sorrow, even to the point of death. Remain here and watch with me. I think it's very interesting that when Christ faced his emotional crisis, he went to a garden. He didn't go to just any garden. He went to the garden called Gethsemane. Most of you know that Gethsemane was in an olive grove. There was an olive grove all the way around this park. And the name Gethsemane comes from the Aramaic that actually means wine press. When Jesus hit his emotional wall, he went to the place that he was comfortable in, he felt secure in, even though it was a wine press. I mean, it was an olive press. There is a fitting symbolism here. If my soul is going to be pressed, if I'm going to go through this soul-pressing experience, I want to do it at a place that is appropriate. What am I trying to say? Often, when we have an emotional crisis, we go to the worst places we can go. Huh? We just go to those bad places. We have an emotional crisis, and so we go hide ourselves in a big plate of spaghetti. Or we go hide ourselves with our buddies who smoke joints all the time. Or we go hide ourselves in a bottle of bourbon somewhere or a glass of wine. Where I take my emotional brokenness is going to affect how I come out. And when you are emotionally weak, you have to be on purpose about what you do with yourself and where you go. It matters. And then Jesus said, I'm declaring my intentions. I can't determine how long it's going to take me to work through this emotional trauma, but I'm telling you, I'm declaring my intentions. It matters who I talk to, and I'm going to pray. Do you know when you're having an emotional crisis, who you talk to, it matters. It does matter. There are people who will tell you the wrong stuff when you're in an emotional crisis. They will give you bad advice, church. Maybe their intentions are good. Maybe their intentions aren't good. But who you talk to when you're in an emotional crisis, that makes a difference. And Jesus said, before I talk to anybody else about what I'm feeling, I'm going to talk to God about it. I believe every emotional crisis is God dialing my number and saying, we need to talk. Church. I don't believe God is the only one I should talk to, but I believe he is the only one who is fully competent to hear everything I have to say in a divine way. Why is this important? Well, it turns out, as human beings, we are, something healthy happens when we talk. It's called the talking cure. It's the whole basis for psychology and counseling. Something good happens when we talk. I'm sorry for this example. It's the best I can do. You know when you don't feel good and you know you're going to throw up and that terrible feeling you have? You just feel terrible, right? All right. You're fighting it. You're going, no, I don't want to do this. Don't fight it. Just get it over with. I always feel better after, right? It's the misery leading up to it. Well, what happens is sometimes emotionally we need to throw up. We've got emotional food poisoning, and we're sick, and our soul is nauseous, and there's something about speaking when my soul is sick that has a curing effect. It's just the way God created us. What a beautiful thing it is that God has such a big heart. He never gets tired of me bringing my emotional sickness to him. He's always ready to listen. I hear myself saying to God, I'm sick of having to talk to you about this. But he's never said to me, yeah, I'm sick of hearing it too, dude. There is something beautiful in the heart of God that he is not offended by my emotional sickness. And Christ said, when you hit your emotional wall, the best thing you can do is go to the quiet place and let your soul be pressed and talk to God. Tell him what you're feeling. Talk to him about your confusion. Ask him to give you a strength you don't have. Talk to God. It's the healthiest thing you can do. And then it's not always good to try to do this alone. So Jesus says to the 12, most of you stay right here. Peter, James, and John, I have a closer relationship to you. I want you and I to talk a little bit. I want you to come with me. And Jesus took his three closest friends, and they separated from everybody else. All right. I believe there's something beautiful about having good Christian friends. Do you hear this? You got to have people in your life that you can trust and you can talk to. It is beautiful, it's healthy, and it's God's way. I think you ought to be in a life group so you're building relationships with people that when you need a safe person to talk to, someone who really has your best interest at heart, you got that person in your life. If you're doing it all by yourself, church, it just gets almost impossible. I'm not going to say almost impossible. It's totally impossible to do an emotional crisis by yourself. We're not cave bears. We are pack animals. And so Jesus said to his three closest friends, I want you to come apart here with me. And then I find it very, very interesting and kind of correcting when I'm really emotionally upset, I sometimes don't want to admit it. I want to say to myself, stop being a big baby and get with the program, would you? When I'm at my emotional worst, I want to deny it. I want to say, I'm fine. Everything's going to be okay. Amen. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one out here. All right. I want to say, don't annoy me with this. Okay, it's not healthy. Denying and suppressing never helps. So look what Jesus does. Jesus gives us this great example. He acknowledges he's having a crisis. He doesn't pretend like everything is okay. He doesn't deny that he's very, very upset. Listen to what he says. He began to be in mental and emotional distress. He was sad and grieved. He felt anguish and troubled confusion. That is a fully developing of the two words. He began to be sorrowful and grieved. Jesus had an emotional crisis, and what he didn't do was deny it. What he didn't do was suppress it. What he didn't do was say, I'm just going to pretend like this isn't happening until it goes away. He acknowledged it. It's something good happens when I can be honest enough to say, I'm in an emotional bad place. Church. Now, I want you to know Jesus didn't go to the temple, round up everybody who would listen to him, and lament to them for 2 hours. Okay. He selectively chose some healthy people, and he opened up to them. Right? Okay. There is a healthy way of opening up to people, and there's an unhealthy way of opening up to people. And Jesus models the healthy way. We should all have people in our lives that we trust enough to say, I'm going through a hard spot. This is difficult for me. I promise you, in the life we live, it is impossible to avoid all sadness, grief, and emotional distress. It is impossible. It can't be done. I don't care what pills you take. I don't care what books you read. Life is life. And we're all going to have emotionally difficult times. But because our spiritual nature and our emotional nature are so closely knit together, we can draw strength spiritually for our emotions, and we can draw strength emotionally for our spirit. And part of it is having people in our lives that we love and trust enough to say, I'm struggling. In fact, Jesus said, my soul is wrapped around by sorrow. I can illustrate this. This kind of weather, I don't like being cold. I'm a layer-up guy. T-shirt, shirt, sweater, jacket, overcoat, long socks, gloves, hat. I don't like shivering. Okay. But last week, I'm wearing everything I own, and I see this guy outside in short pants. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I want you to set aside the idea of emotionally going out in the winter in short pants. And I want you to see Jesus say, I'm in a place and emotionally where I have layers and layers and layers of sorrow. I'm wearing the T-shirt of sorrow. I'm wearing the long sleeve shirt of sorrow. I'm wearing the sweater of sorrow. I'm wearing the jacket of sorrow. I'm wearing the overcoat of sorrow. I'm wearing the long socks of sorrow. I'm wearing the gloves of sorrow. I'm wearing the hat of sorrows. My life right now is layers of emotional upset. It's a pretty profound way to say it, don't you think? But that's exactly what Christ said. Christ said, this isn't going to be easy. I'm not in an emotional place that if I just watched a Bugs Bunny cartoon, I'll feel better. I am in an emotional place that has layers and layers, and it's not going to be easy to deal with. And I don't expect it to be easy. Church, now you have a chance. If you think you can go through these emotional hard times like instant coffee, you put some water on, you boil it, you throw the, it dissolves, you stir it up. You can't go through these emotional hard times that way. It doesn't work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes quietness. It takes friendship. Do you hear it? And Jesus said, that's what I'm experiencing, and I want you to know you're going to have times like that too. In fact, Jesus said, this feels like it's killing me. My soul is wrapped around by sorrow, even unto death. I feel emotionally like I can't survive this. Church, do you think you're a bad person because you've had an emotional crisis? Do you think you're more wicked than everybody else because you've been overwhelmed emotionally? It's not true. Our Lord Jesus himself said, this feels like it's killing me. And that didn't make him wicked. Do you understand this? Emotional trauma does not equal you are a bad person. It means you are a human being. Jesus said, I know this isn't going to be easy, and it feels like it's killing me, but, Peter, James, and John, I want you to hang out with me, and I just need the sense that you're there and I can trust you. Church? Look, sometimes in an emotional crisis, it's not what you say, it's just who you are. You're there. Church, it's not, can you quote three chapters of Sigmund Freud? It's, is there a solid soul, dependable, trustworthy, who simply says, I got your back? Church? And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. This is very interesting to me. Jesus did the hardest thing to do when you are in emotional distress. When I am emotionally distressed, I already feel humiliated. There's a certain humiliation that goes with being emotionally overwhelmed. Anybody, or is it just me? The emotionalness is already humiliating me. But look what Jesus did. He separated himself, he knelt down, and he actually put his forehead right on the ground. He humbled himself. Let me tell you something. You can't walk through the wall. You can only crawl. Church? You cannot walk through the wall. You can only crawl. Why? Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When I am emotionally overwhelmed and I think I'm going to power up and I'm just going to blast my way through this wall, the wall just gets thicker and thicker and thicker. You cannot fight your way through the wall, but you can crawl your way through the wall. There is a power in humility that is incredible when it comes to emotional health. I can just simply humble myself. And I can say to God, I am not competent to overcome this. I'm not trusting my own ability, my own wisdom, my own capacity to get it right. I'm humbling myself in the belief that you'll give me the grace I need to crawl through this wall. So where do we start? Church? Can you hear it? Christ said, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to confront this overwhelming emotional condition, and I'm going to do it with humility. I'm laying aside my arrogance. I'm laying aside my know-it-all. I'm laying aside I'm competent, I can handle anything. I'm laying aside all my self-trust. And I'm saying to you, my hope is in you. Would you please grant me grace to move through this? Church? In this emotional upset, Jesus looked for relief, but he looked for relief in the proper places. He said, Father, Father, my Heavenly Father. Haven't we talked about the wonder of our Heavenly Father many times? Haven't we reminded ourselves together how good he is, how wise he is, how gentle he is, how caring he is? Have we not walked down the pathway of the majesty of our Heavenly Father many times? Now look what Jesus says. I need emotional relief. This is overwhelming me. The first thing he does is say, Father. Father, I need you to be a good father to me in this moment. Right? Some of you don't know what a good father is. You didn't have one, but you have a Heavenly Father that's infinitely better than what you've ever guessed. And you can say to him, Father. In fact, you can say to him, Abba, Father. a term of endearment. My very dear father, my papa. Church. Jesus sought relief, but he sought relief in the goodness, in the kindness, in the love, in the gentleness of his heavenly Father. And he says, I know. You are able to make this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Can you believe your heavenly Father loves you enough to permit you to go through hard times? I have a memory of one of my children. It was elementary school, and I drove the kids to school, and my one daughter was just having a hard day, and she was crying and didn't want to go to school. Okay, I was not a very strict dad when it came to school. I mean, perfect attendance, really. For you guys who got perfect attendance, God bless you. I hope you framed your little certificate. I had better things to do than go to school every day. Sorry, teachers. I love you. Sorry, Matt. My little daughter was crying, didn't want to go to school. My first impulse was to say, fine, you don't have to go. But I knew she would be fine if she could just get down the sidewalk and into the building, right? So, stinking Grinch that I am, I let her walk away down that sidewalk, just crying her little eyes out. I mean, real tears. All day long, I'm thinking to myself, you call yourself a dad, you big loser. You know, I picked her up from school that day. She was fine. She had totally forgotten about it. Okay. It was a healthy thing for her that day. I'm not saying every day, but that day it was a healthy thing to cry her way forward, right? It was a good thing for her. She just needed to cry her way down the sidewalk, get in the building, and then she was all right, okay? Guess what, adults? We need to cry our way down the sidewalk sometimes. Amen. We need to be willing to say to God, I know you love me, and I'm in a bad spot right now. But even if I'm crying my way down the sidewalk, I'm going to walk down this sidewalk, and I'm going to get to where I need to be. And I trust that you love me enough that you're with me while we do this. Amen. Church? Children, a child's trauma is just as bad to that child as any adult trauma is to an adult. That little, her broken little heart that day was as powerful and as meaningful to as any broken heart you've ever had. Church? Okay, but it was wise and good to let her cry her way down the sidewalk. She was happy by the end of the day. Listen, your heavenly Father knows. He knows. He knows the days when you shouldn't have to cry your way down the sidewalk. He knows the days when he says, just get back in the car. We'll go out to Denny's for breakfast. But he also knows the days that he needs to say to us, not today. Not today. You walk this sidewalk. You're going to be fine. I'll be here at the end of the day. I'll pick you up. everything's going to be okay. Your heavenly Father knows what cup you should drink and what cup you shouldn't drink. And he's never going to put you down. He's never going to make you drink the cup you shouldn't drink. He's never going to make you go down the sidewalk you shouldn't go down. He loves you way too much, church. But some days he is going to say to you, this is a growth day for you. You got to walk it today, church. Jesus got up, came to his disciples, found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, so you could not watch with me 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus humbles himself. He kneels down, he weeps, and he prays. He gets up, goes back to see his friends. They're snoring. They're snoring. And he says, dudes, you couldn't hang with me for 1 hour? But you know what he didn't do? He didn't dump his own emotional trauma on them. He just simply said to Peter, I get it. I get it. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you know, sometimes when we're in emotional trauma, we have a tendency to think it's worse for us than anybody else has ever had it. And we forget that everybody around us, they're having hard days too. Right? Look, I'm not Jesus. I just said to Peter, what's up with you, dude? Do you know you smelled like fish the first time I met you? You were a fisherman. Your clothes were saturated with fish. I've given you a different career, dude. I've taught you. You know things you would have never known. I've done miracles in front of you. I've blessed you in a million ways. And now I'm in the trauma of my life, and I can't count on you for 1 hour. That would be a normal thing to say, wouldn't it? Not with Jesus. You know what? Jesus said, I know your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know. This is the best you have. Listen, sometimes we make it through our emotional trauma when we take our focus off ourselves and we actually look at other people. You got that? Jesus stopped looking at himself and he looked at Peter and said, I get it. It's been hard. You're tired. I know your heart. I know you want to do the right thing, even if you can't do the right thing. You know what? It might help every one of us in moments of being emotionally overwhelmed to say, they want to do the right thing. They're just not able to do it right now. Church? Ma'am, you're in a real hard space today. You're in a real difficult space. Maybe you should say to yourself, I know they want to. They're just not capable. Brother, you're in a bad space. You're in an emotionally tough spot. You're not sure how to handle it. Maybe you could say to yourself today, perhaps they want to do better than they're doing, and they're just not capable right now. You know what? That may be the very emotional key that you need to unlock some gentleness with yourself. Maybe it'll be a little more easy to be gentle with yourself if you can be gentle with someone else. Church, it's exactly what Jesus did. He was emotionally overwhelmed, But he still looked at his friend Peter and said, I'm not dumping my stuff on you. You're probably doing the best you can. Church? Three times Jesus prayed. Three times he prayed. You see, sometimes we don't get immediate emotional relief. It just doesn't happen that way. Some life sorrows linger, and so we have to wait on the Lord. I know people whose heart, they lost someone they could not afford to lose, and the sorrow of it lingers, and it is an emotional burden on them day after day. And because the emotion lingers, I have to learn to wait on the Lord. Some life anxieties linger, so I have to learn to seek the Lord. Some life perplexities linger, so I have to learn what the Proverbist meant when he said, seek wisdom. Some life distresses feel like they're going to kill us, so I have to learn to hope in the Lord. Can you hear this? If the emotion lingers, then I have to do what Christ did, and I have to go back at it again and again and again. I have to remember, sometimes it's not what I say, it's who I'm talking to. The Bible said he said the same prayer three times. You see, it wasn't what he was saying, it was who he was talking to. Do you get it? Sometimes it's not what you say to God, it's the comfort you get from just being around him. Church? It's the well-being you get from just being around him. It's the sense of, even if this doesn't change tomorrow, God still loves me. There's still a way forward. And then the crisis passed. For Christ, it passed that night. Not long after this happened, Judas showed up with Roman soldiers and temple guards. And they arrested Jesus Christ. At his arrest, you do not see him emotionally traumatized. He has peace, strength, and well-being. The emotional trauma that made him feel like he was dying, he had prayed his way through it. He had calmed his soul through it. And now he faces Roman soldiers and temple guards, and he's perfectly at peace. They paid false witnesses to bring lies against him to court. Never raised his voice once. In fact, he refused to defend himself. He simply said, "That's too stupid for me to answer." They whipped him and crucified him. But he had found the strength. He'd found the peace, the well-being, the hope. And he faced what seems unfaceable from a strong sense of inner peace. Church, sometimes we have to crawl through the wall because on the other side we stand up stronger, better, more faithful, more secure, more competent. Can you hear me? Thank you. The wall is not God's way of breaking you. The wall is God's way of making you. The wall isn't there to stop you. The wall is there to strengthen you. And if we can follow Christ's example, we're going to come out on the other side noble people, competent, capable of living well, making a difference in the world. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, and I thank you for his example. And I want to pray for help this morning. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who came here this morning, and they just feel all of this. Everything I've talked about, they're feeling right now viscerally. I'm praying that you would meet them with your fatherly gentleness and care, and they could have a sense that they're not at the wall alone, that you're there with them, that you're going to guide them. You're going to bring them out on the other side stronger and healthier and more beautiful than they've ever been. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters who hit the wall some time ago and it broke them. They did not know how to handle it. They did not know what they were confronting. They didn't have the skills to crawl their way through the wall. And they're broken. I pray that you would meet them in a fresh way. I pray that whatever is broken, you would bind up. I pray that whatever is holding them down, you would help them to rise up. I pray however much they've given up, you would give them a new sense of effort and try. And I pray that one more time, somewhere in their inner heart, they would call out to you and say, Father, Father, help me. Grant me the grace to move forward again. Grant me inner strength and well-being. Father, I pray for the young people in this church who haven't been here. They've not been to the wall. I pray that something in this sermon would take root in their heart, so when they arrive there, they can remember this is a normal part of life. And God is at work to make me a better person, so that they can come out on the other side, noble, beautiful, and good. I pray for all of us this morning that we would become the Christ-like souls that we should be. In Jesus' name, amen.